It is a Victory Monday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to us by our friends at Palermo's Pizza. Short week for the pack. Short week for us, too, with it being Thanksgiving. A lot of jam stuff we got to jam into Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But Chewy, just... were you a little uncomfortable when he called himself Daddy?
Yeah, don't like that. Not at all.
Pops? Is that better?
Daddy, the term, has taken on, in modern culture, a very different meaning than most would commonly refer to it. It's also spawned the Zaddy, which is also a name that gets thrown a lot. So yeah, it's just, keep, let the kids say it. Give up Daddy.
What's a Zaddy?
You knew that was going to be the follow-up question, Josh. You decided to say the word Zaddy, and you knew Chewy was going to have questions. So I hope you're ready to answer it.
A Zaddy is a term for a sexually attractive man, especially an older one, who is fashionable or charismatic.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, that's gross.
Welcome to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah. That's gross.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be the... No, nope, you know what? Yep, we're just going to move on.
Yeah.
I was going to say something.
We're going to have to dig ourselves out of an even deeper hole.
Yep, was going to say something, decided, you know what? Don't need to say it, don't need to go there on a victory
Monday. What's the name of the guy that tries to dress like an 18-year-old? You know, the dads that used to wear Affliction and stuff and the bedazzled jeans.
Douchebag.
And stuff. Yeah, that is just total. Well, you know what's taken over that, Joshy? Joshy.
What's that?
The dads that are like in their 50s that wear the flat brim hat.
Oh.
You know? It is such a bad look.
Yeah. Dress your age.
I mean, exactly. And mothers have as much, because when they try to act a little hoo-ha-ish, you know, kind of dress like they're 22 years old. So they have as much to blame, even though that doesn't bother me as much.
Oh, wonder why.
Shocking.
But the flat brim hat and the skateboard over the shoulder at 55, get a life, bro. Come on, what are we doing? That's why I said there should always be a cool school. Someone should open up a cool school.
No.
Yeah.
Why? No.
Because if you have to go to cool school, guess what?
You're not cool.
No.
Do you think you would go to a cool school? Or do you need to?
I would teach it.
Oh, well, let's not get crazy.
And golf has as much, you know, you're at that age where you cannot dress playing golf in like another 6-7 years. Can't do it.
I can do whatever I want to.
It's too douchey. It is.
Just wearing loud colors?
Yes.
Oh, John Daly's still doing it. He's in his 50s.
He's fat.
So?
He can get away with it. He is boisterous. He's fun.
I'm not?
He's not boisterous.
Yeah.
He's rather cantankerous.
Is Gabe fun? Put it on the poll.
You got it.
Gabe, are you fun?
Yeah, I'm fun.
What's
I'm a good time.
What's the funniest thing you did this weekend, other than work 72 hours?
Yeah, no, I mean, I had to work all weekend, you know.
Hours.
Some of us have to work for a living, too. We can't just fly all over the country going to college tailgates on a whim.
I'm just being a good daddy.
Okay, well, you're trying to make Josh uncomfortable. Josh was also apparently uncomfortable when Matt LaFleur had this to say about his growing weapon, I guess, in Jaden Reed.
He is a dog. He's a war daddy, and he goes out there, and he's such a competitor, and got a lot of confidence in him. He continues to make big time plays, and we're going to keep on featuring all those guys.
How do you feel about one grown man calling another grown man war daddy?
I threw up in my mouth. That's like these coaches that are in LaFleur. He's in his what, 30s or 40s?
He's early 40s.
So that's not as bad. What's bad is when you see like Mac Brown dancing in a locker room or guys that old. That is
well, but I mean, but he's doing that for his players, and his
I
players really get into it. Like that's specifically for the team.
I'm out on
that's
it.
That's just being fun.
Yeah.
No, Gabe. That's not. That's nothing fun about that.
What do you mean? No, hold on. You can say it was bad dancing, But he was having a good time, and all of his players around him were having a good time. So it seemed at least somebody was having fun.
But they carry it over to when they hang out with their buddies who are 50 and 60 years old and get the confidence of being in the locker room and dancing and then carry it over. Because I was with parents this weekend that were in their 50s dancing, and that is just... Is that bad or what?
I mean, we suddenly have just really struck a nerve here, and I feel like Josh is just furiously posting polls at Jen Gabe Chewy on social media.
When did dancing have an age limit? Since when? Isn't dancing inherently like being fun?
Yeah, ballroom dancing's fine for someone my age.
Ballroom dancing?
No,
that's
come
it?
On. I mean,
you
who's
think
boogieing?
Going to a
What's
club
cool
at
boogieing?
55 years old and breaking it down is okay?
Yeah.
I'm out.
If you're a 55-year-old and you're in the middle of the circle at a wedding, you're going to be a hit at that wedding.
Nope.
So what's the age limit?
Ask Ashton.
Well, Ashton isn't fun. He doesn't dance. What's the age limit for dancing?
Ashton's, probably right around where you're at.
Ashton's hips ain't moving.
Nah, they're a little stiff. Hips are a little stiff for the big guy.
If you have kids that are out of high school, you shouldn't dance.
Because
all they're doing is to egg you on to dance to make fun of you. Would you agree with that?
I mean, again, you're dancing. Like, dancing inherently is supposed to be fun. It means you're having a good time. Chances are you're going to be dancing with your significant other. She's going to have a smile on her face. Or he's going to, you know, if you're dancing together, you're smiling together. You're having a good time.
Sure, like ballroom dancing. That's very classy. When
nobody ballroom dances anymore.
Yes, they do.
No, except on Dancing with the Stars, nobody does ballroom dancing. When's the last time you saw somebody do a classical ballroom dance?
So you guys think it's okay for everyone to dance?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Dancing is for everyone.
Yes.
Dancing's for everyone. If you want to dance, dance your heart out.
No. There's one stipulation. You just have to not think you're a great dancer.
Correct.
You have to stay inside what you... The person who thinks they're a tremendous dancer and isn't, that's the worst look you could possibly have. But... if you're out there just having fun, shaking your hips, toe tapping, go for it.
No, I disagree. The kids just want you to dance so they can make fun of you.
Sure, but it looks like we've angered the big guy. Looks like we've angered Ashton. He has stormed into the one call that's all Gruberloff's studios.
Mr. Fun is here.
Yes, I'm Captain Fun. First of all, Josh, why'd you bring up the daddy thing? You knew that was going to happen. You and Gabe, both to blame. You're both idiots.
What do you mean?
You're both to blame. You knew that was going to happen the minute you mentioned
Zaddy?
The word.
No, he's the
you
one
knew.
Who brought up Zaddy.
You both knew. You
Ashton.
Both knew.
I didn't know he was going to say Zaddy.
I'm the one that had your back here. So
you did
be
not. I
was,
I've been listening all morning. The hell are you talking about? You said
I just said Ashton you said, doesn't dance either.
I do, though, at weddings.
You stand in the corner.
No. Listen, if I wanted to, I would call my girlfriend right now if I felt that was a necessary thing to do, and she would back me up that at three weddings this fall, I did dance.
Oh, so you're too good to dance at my wedding?
Yeah. I danced to your wedding for like 5 minutes. I was there.
Is it different for taller people, though?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but if you want to dance, you should be able to dance, right? Like, yeah. I'm not saying everybody has to dance.
But what
I'm not saying
can't
it's recommended.
Dance. Well, then
you
stay off the. I can't dance.
Do. Yeah, but you just do it anyways because it's fun, and whoever you're with probably wants you to do it.
Self awareness. You got to be self aware.
I don't have
that. No, because what? 95, 96, 97% of the population is bad at dancing.
At least.
What time do people dance? At night, 10 o'clock, 11? That's when I'm the responsible one.
Yeah, I usually take a few to get out there and lose all inhibitions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're young.
Yeah, the problem is that when you're dancing and you're me, you're just sweating out the alcohol anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I mean, you're not moving that much. You're really sweating that much.
Oh, you're going to
sweat?
You guys would be shocked. I'm sweating so damn much on the dance floor. It's dangerous. I just stay away from the cords.
Ashy, do you want to see Susie dance?
No, I mean, I guess if she's having a good time, you know, you do that. I just stay away. It's fine.
Like, I'm not saying, like, what do you think dancing is, Chew?
It's a good follow-up. You should get up on camera and do it right now. We can't hear you, but everyone can see you.
Like, and you're moving your neck. And you're
the sounds.
Guys in the 50s should not do that. It's just a very bad look. You guys are so wrong.
I need that sound one more time.
Yeah.
No, the only reason you'd want people my age to dance is to make fun of me.
Yeah, but we have so many other reasons to make fun of you.
No, I mean,
I'm standing in a picture right now of you naked, so we have plenty of reasons to make fun of you.
I was.
Brett and Eau Claire hits us up on the talking text line, 800-990-3776. When did this turn into Footloose? Chewy is the preacher, Gabe is Kevin Bacon.
Wrong side of history, Chewy.
Bye, guys.
See? I'm cool. I'm Kevin Bacon.
I guess.
I'm a good time. I don't have high hopes for that poll coming back in my favor, by the way.
You're winning right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're out to a quick lead.
Can we stop the count?
I cannot.
Okay. You know, I just figured I'd ask.
I can try and stuff the ballot box if you want.
No, hey, if we can stuff the ballot box, please.
Joshy, what's your go-to move? The fire extinguisher or the what is the thing?
The sprinkler?
Is that what it's called?
I can't see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm doing,
Joshy?
Do it
again. I didn't see. That is the sprinkler.
Hey, you got like the little sprinkler thing going here.
He's doing the sprinkler.
I mean, you got to have a signature move.
I don't have a signature move. I'm just out there having a good time moving, tapping my toes, shaking my hips.
Mine was back in the day, and I'm maybe 15 years ago. Mine was the running in place,
the running man,
which is terrible.
Can you do it for us?
You get the shoulders. You know, you kind of get the shoulders going. Yeah, I get that.
Do you still got the running man in the bag, Chew?
No, I never had it in the bag.
You just said it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We good?
Yeah. Gonna have to reset.
Okay.
Yeah, no dancing here. Puts Ashy in the corner. Dave in Heartland saying that Chewy is one of the old people from Footloose. We're getting a lot of Footloose comparisons to you, big guy, on the talking text line. X-Golf, the place to work on your game this offseason. Convenient locations in Brookfield and Mequon, as well as inside American Family Field. Look, this is a great place to work on your game because the state-of-the-art simulators gives you all the information you need. If you need some help maybe with your game, book a lesson with one of their PGA pros. But kind of the secret thing that I'm going to let you in on when it comes to X-Golf, Brookfield, Mequon, it's a great place to go watch the games. So if you want to kick back, watch Rivalry Week with college football this week. Maybe you want to watch some pro games, get some swings in, but you don't even have to because they have a great food, full bar menu as well. It's just a great place to go and hang out and watch games as well. Book your tee time today. Check it out, xgolfbrookfield.com or xgolfmequon.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah, I think we can all see the improvement, and we got a great test in front of us. This is a really good defense we're about to play in Detroit. But I am happy with the progress. Our guys just got to continue to battle. And
Matt LaFleur talking about his quarterback, Jordan Love. Don't forget, vote. Is Gabe Neitzel fun? At Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. Just, you know, if you want to. Like, I don't know if Murph in Bayview, who hits us up on the talk and text line, 800-990-3776. I don't know if he's voted online or not, but he said, I used to think Gabe was a dork. After seeing him on the YouTube stream, he's growing on me.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm growing on the guy. He used to think I was a dork, and now he's. I don't know if that's good for me, like seeing me on the YouTube stream, and now
is it
he's
the way you dress?
I don't know. Like, I don't think I dress like.
Definitely,
no, you're probably the best dressed out of everyone on the show. Joshy's the most consistent.
Uniform dresser.
Ooh. Yeah, that is your uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You need a chainsaw,
I do it by design.
Is Josh more consistent than Jen? Because Jen's pretty consistent with her attire for
sweats
the show as well. Yeah. she's wearing the same thing every day.
But
so is Josh.
Consistent.
Yeah, you're consistent because you got the uni. You got, again, either it's a t-shirt or some sort of quarter zip because you're going in shorts because you're going to work out after. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's a compliment. I think what Murph in Bayview paid me was a compliment.
I'd take it and not ask any more questions.
Correct. Yeah. No, we're not. We're not going to ask any more questions. We're going to ask more questions to Jordan Love. This is a huge test, Chew.
Yes.
What do you think would represent progress against the Lions? What do you think is the next thing? Again, progress not always linear, so he may end up taking a step back because the last time they played the Lions, no bueno. It was bad.
Yes. I'm not picking him to win. I don't know what progress would be because I'm fully anticipating a minor step back. I'm just saying a minor step back in this game is okay. Okay, because most times young teams like that do not know how to win on the road,
yeah,
national TV, when they just beat the San Diego Chargers.
Because here's the other thing, too, that I can already feel the groundswell beginning, especially after the Vikings last night. Right now, the Packers are the eighth team in the NFC.
Yeah.
I don't want to have that conversation.
No.
Until they win back-to-back games. They haven't won back-to-back games yet this year.
Yes.
They do that, maybe we're... And if they do that, and they do that on Thursday, and again, I'm not predicting it to happen, but if they pull it off and somehow win on Thursday, then you can start having that conversation, because then you've beaten one of the best teams in the NFC, and you haven't just racked up wins against lesser opponents.
Well, thank God that Detroit beat Chicago yesterday.
Yeah.
Because if they lost that game...
Oh.
I think it would be a very large beatdown, even though I'm sure Campbell's going to rip them because they didn't play well, obviously, in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
It was a trap game.
Sure.
Right? But he's going to go into this game saying, look, Green Bay's beaten up on us for years. Now's our time, our chance to get back to them. You guys played like crap last week. So they got to match that. They got to match that intensity. Have they played a short week like this, Sunday to a Thursday?
Yeah, the last time they played Detroit.
Okay.
When they played Detroit, it was a Thursday night game.
I don't know what progress would be. I would take...
Love, just for reference, against the Lions the last time, 23 of 36, 246 yards, a touchdown, two picks.
But this is when... Wasn't this one of the games where they had 27 yards in the first half? I mean, the score was, I believe, 27-3.
It was 27-3. Yeah. They got their doors blown off in the first half. It was over by halftime.
Yes. So I don't know if that happens. I mean, the running game is scary, Gabe.
Okay.
Because you know they're just going to play coverage.
Yep.
Did you know that Dontavian Wicks had a concussion?
Yes, he was being evaluated after that big play late in the game.
So that's concerning. So that takes away another weapon.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't clear, if he is diagnosed with a concussion, there's no chance he plays Thursday.
That's fine. Yeah. So maybe it's just individuals get better, but these young guys have to learn how to play games like this, because projecting a couple years down the road, this is what you're going to get. I don't know. I'm not optimistic.
Okay.
It's kind of like a push. If they push this week, then I'm okay. Like, are you expecting to see the offense even get better than they did against the Chargers? Probably not, right?
I don't expect them to look that good, no. But, you know, if you make a couple of the big plays, again, if they hang with Detroit, and again, it seems like loser talk. Oh, if you hang with Detroit, you can hang your hat on that. But they got their doors blown off so badly by the Lions the last time. Like, just hanging represents growth, especially on the road. Tough place to play. Because you know, I mean, the Lions have been 8-2, like, just a handful of times in their team's history.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of the best starts ever for Detroit.
Well,
you know that fan base is going to be rocking Ford Field come Thursday.
Yes, and we haven't said it. I don't think we've said it on the show up until now. I thought that was the best play calling LaFleur's had all year long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were balanced. They kept them uneasy. Love was even talking how he drew up the touchdown to Watson in the dirt.
Yeah, LaFleur did, yeah. Well, I guess the tight ends coach did.
Yeah. So that's what they need. I mean, in order for them to stay close, LaFleur's got to call another game like that, which is going to be difficult because, you know, I'm not expecting that much out of the run game.
It's
almost like, hell with it. Go five wides all game long and see what happens.
I do think it's informative that when we saw the guys make plays, Matt LaFleur's play calling looked the best, and so did Jordan Love's performance.
Yeah.
Like, we've been talking and we've been trying to evaluate all season long. How much is it the guys around him? How much is it his head coach? And how much is it Jordan Love not playing that well? We saw all those three things connect in a way that we've been looking for. And even with this Detroit game and the Kansas City game coming up, I won't be discouraged by a step back game. I think I've seen enough the past 3 weeks where I know they're getting better. And if we see rookie mistakes again, we see a bunch of offsides calls, we see guys dropping balls, I'm not gonna go back to where I was in the early part of the season.
But I do want to see better than what it was against Detroit last time. Because that's another
hold on, Gabe. When you say that, who are you talking about? Just the offense or the offense and defense?
Just the offense.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't really care about the defense. I thought we made that clear.
This past week against the Chargers, you're seeing less head spinning out of these young guys.
Yes.
I mean, when LaFleur, was a nice play design to Musgrave, I believe it was in the first quarter, where Jordan Love overthrew him.
Yeah, missed him up the left sideline.
When you can design plays like that, and that was kind of a specialty play, then your guys are starting to get it,
which is
a big part of the battle.
But this is a different environment, and I'm curious to see how they handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this game being on the road, is this probably going to be the toughest road test for them?
And this is a national game.
Yeah, because
this isn't a Monday night game. This isn't a Monday night game. This is a tradition game where most people in the country eat their turkey and watch football.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing getting that into their heads as a young team, but they have to understand that, look, most of the nation's going to be watching. Let's not go out and get embarrassed.
Yeah. Rob Domofsky going to help us break down yesterday's game. A win for the Packers on Victory Monday over the Chargers. Victory Monday brought to us by our friends at Palermo's Pizza. Make sure you're loading up and get those delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Rob Domofsky joins us next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
What's the biggest mistake that new quarterback made? Turnover. And he hasn't had it.
And mating rituals.
The Shedd Aquarium in Chicago was one of my favorite school fields. And I believe there were dolphins there, but they left that out.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
Wow, I'm a little, it's only love. It's only love.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And we love talking to Rob Domofsky each and every Monday after the Packers play. Packers victorious yesterday. Good morning, Rob.
Gabe, how are you?
Doing good, bud. Yourself?
I'm great.
What's your travel plan? Like, how early? I mean, you getting over to Detroit on Wednesday?
Wednesday, there's, believe it or not, a direct flight from Green Bay to Detroit, one of the few places we go directly. Leave on Wednesday, and unfortunately, don't get back till Friday. Gabe, like 362 days a year, there's a 9 p.m. flight out of Detroit that gets into Green Bay at basically 9 p.m., except it doesn't exist on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and I would assume New Year's. So I'm stuck there.
Stuck in Detroit. What was your biggest takeaway from the Packers' win yesterday over the Chargers?
So I don't want to get too dramatic or whatever, but
please do.
I walked away from it going, years from now, if Jordan Love ends up still being the quarterback and he's still throwing to guys like Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Dobbs, and even Watson, we might look back on this game as the game that sort of told us that Jordan Love could be the guy. Like, I get that may be overly dramatic, but, you know, in every quarterback, great quarterback, or even a quarterback who's been the guy for a long time, there was a moment, right? Like, you know, with Brett, it might have been just the throw to Kittrick Taylor, right, that got the whole thing started. With Aaron, there was that game, obviously the game in Dallas in 07 where he came in, but there was the game in 08 where he had hurt the shoulder and there wasn't, you know, they weren't sure if he was going to play. I think it might have been against Atlanta. And, you know, McCarthy told him, all right, we won't throw any deep balls because your shoulder's not going to be able to do it. And, like, the first series of the game, they call a deep ball. Rodgers throws it and ends up throwing for, you know, 300 and whatever yards and how many touchdowns that game. Like, I, you know, yesterday could be that moment for Jordan Love. And I want to add this too, Gabe. Even if they go out and struggle against Detroit on Thursday and maybe take a step back, I still don't think that changes the fact that something big might have happened yesterday.
Rob, what are they going to do at the running back position?
Well, they got a guy in the practice squad, Chewy, whose name I can't even remember because they signed him like last week. I would assume they would promote him. Patrick Taylor, who has been here for a while, is now, I believe, on New England's practice squad. I would assume they would try to get him back here. They also had James Robinson, the former 1,000-yard rusher with the Jaguars. He was on the practice squad for a couple of weeks earlier in the year. I would assume they would bring back some combination of a couple of those guys. And, you know, they got to see what A.J. Dillon, if he can do it. 2 point whatever yards per carry yesterday was certainly not good enough. They didn't need him. But, you know, it's not only that, Chewy, but, like, Dontavian Wicks is in the protocol. We don't know for sure if he was concussed. He was still being evaluated for a concussion. There was a possibility he didn't have one. So they've got issues there, too. It's not just running back.
Ellis Merriweather is the name of the running back on the practice squad, by the way. Speaking of the running game, what are they doing off on the offensive line? Are they the first team in NFL history to decide to do an offensive line rotation? Because at left tackle, you had Walker and Nyman play about 50-50 snaps, and then Sean Ryan came in for one series at right guard for whatever reason.
Yeah, I've seen it where you've rotated like at one position in a game.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever seen it where it was like a two-position, two-person rotation, although it was only the one series for Ryan. But, yeah, look, I would think you're better off settling on one guy, but it's like the old thing. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. If they have two left tackles, maybe they have none.
Rob, what was your takeaway on the defense? Because there was another 50 yards of offense out there. I mean, those were drops. Those weren't even competitive drops. Those were just flat out layup drops. Yep. What was your takeaway about on the defense yesterday?
Well, the troubling thing I thought was on the one to Johnson down the right sideline, was it Valentine or Ballantyne? I can't remember. Just gave up on the play. Gave up. That's a touchdown. That's a 70-yard touchdown or whatever it was. They had, I think, six drops, three of them by Keenan Allen. I mean, I know he was really upset with himself after the game, obviously. He's a great receiver and you know, can't do that. But, I mean, that's probably two touchdowns that they left out there. Game's totally different game there. They've got to get some of those experienced guys back in that secondary. The Jair thing is just continues to be problematic. This week, Savage and Stokes are eligible to come off IR, but there's no way they play this week because they haven't practiced the rules of IR. You can't practice during this 4-week stretch, and they're not going to practice this week because it's, they just have walkthroughs, so I can't imagine that either one of those guys would suit up this week, so that's a problem. But they've got to get some of those guys back pretty quickly.
What does Dontavian Wicks have to do, other than obviously clear concussion protocol? But what does he have to do, just more of an overarching question, Rob, to get more snaps? Because it seems like anytime he's out there, he's productive, and yet it doesn't seem like Christian Watson should be getting 32 more snaps than him at this point, based on their production.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, Gabe. The snaps have to come from somewhere, right? I don't believe they have a four-wide package. I'm sure they have one in their offense. I don't believe we've seen a four-wides. I remember McCarthy had a thing where he had the big five, where they had five receivers out at times. I don't think LaFleur's ever done that. So the snaps have to come from somewhere, and I think Christian Watson right now is the most logical guy to take some away from. Yes, he had the touchdown. Beautiful play and a beautiful catch and throw, but the production, you know, otherwise hasn't been there. What was it yesterday? It was
two catches.
Where's the target?
Two for 21 on four. Four targets.
Four targets. Yeah, four targets. So, hey, 50% is higher than what it was going into the game. 42%.
It's getting better.
But Rob, in regards to Watson, are they afraid of crushing his spirit? Because you know how some guys might go in the tank that they have to kind of treat him a little differently because he will. I mean, I played with guys that if Holmgren yelled at him, you forget it. They were done the rest of the game. Is he, you think he's one of those guys where they got to be a little sensitive with him? I unfortunately wasn't. I was the yell guy. I, for some weird fetish or whatever, I enjoyed getting yelled at because rather be getting yelled at than not. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, I tell my kids, hey, if the coach isn't yelling at you, it means he's giving up on you.
Yeah.
But that very well could be with Watson. I mean, look, I mean, receivers are, you know, they're a little bit diva-ish. Not all of them, but some of them are, obviously. I'm not saying Watson is, but, you know, confidence is a huge thing when it comes to a guy who maybe has in the back of his mind that he's worried about dropping the football, right? I mean, like, that's a thing. That you don't want to mess with. But at some point, I mean, they're going to have to try to find a way to get Wicks in there more. And you can't do it at the expense of Jaden Reed. And I don't know that you can do it at the expense of Dobbs, although Dobbs, you know, doesn't necessarily have the big play potential. So maybe there's times where, you know, you maybe take three or four snaps away from him, three or four snaps away from Watson, and now all of a sudden you've got him on the field for – a little bit more than you do. But there's no question that both those rookies seem to have a knack for A, finding spots, especially when they see zone coverage, and B, connecting with the quarterback on a cerebral level.
Yeah, because I'm not saying bench Christian Watson. It's just, like you said, the snaps have to come from somewhere, and when somebody's getting outperformed, I want to see, especially when you have a group of young wide receivers, a group of young tight ends, I want there to be competition there. I don't want just, oh, this guy was a second-round pick last year, so he's going to by default. No, if he's not performing, like, you got to have competition at that position. That's the only way, to me, these guys are going to get better and reach their potential.
Yeah, and I posted the snap counts just a little bit ago. Watson played 56 of 72 offensive snaps. That was tops amongst receivers. Reed had 50, Dobbs had 49. Wicks had 24, and Malik Heath had 15. I'm not sure what packages Malik Heath was out there. He only had the one catch. Maybe 15 is too much for Malik Heath.
Who played better yesterday, Wallace or Yash, Rob?
I think Yash, based on what I saw live. I'd have to go back and look at it again and study a little closer. But my initial instinct is Yash, and I think if it were me, look, I don't know what Luke Butkus thinks, but if it were me, I would probably just stick with Yash as long as he's healthy.
Well, it kind of seemed like that's what they were going to do, and then they went to this weird rotation.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's because of the back injury that Yash had a couple of weeks ago, but he has not gone the full 100% lately.
So what represents to you progress against Detroit? Because I think we're all in agreement. They're 7.5-point underdogs. And I know you're in the, hey, progress isn't linear. It's not always, oh, you're getting better, Like sometimes there are steps backwards. Right. But it was such an unmitigated disaster against Detroit the first time around. What represents progress for this team for you on Thanksgiving?
I think if we continue to see some rhythm in the passing game, whatever we see in the running game, I don't know how much that'll help. But progress for A.J. Dillon individually would be great. Like if he went out and had a big game on a year when it's been pretty much a disaster for him. But look, we're not really worried about A.J. Dillon, right? We're worried about Jordan Love in the passing game. If they can execute in third down situations, if they can move the ball on somewhat of a consistent basis, and if Jordan Love doesn't regress to turning the ball over, you know, I think those are all good things. I might be crazy, but as unwinnable as I think the Lions game is, I think as long as they don't get their spirit crushed in Detroit, that they could come home and compete with the Chiefs, in 2 weeks. I do think that's possible from this team based on what we saw yesterday. And even, look, I was as skeptical as anybody coming out of Pittsburgh that meant anything. Like, I was like, well, everyone says, well, they showed some signs. Well, I didn't really think so because of the red zone issues, the interceptions in the fourth quarter. But I'm more willing to go back a week and consider that was actually a pretty good showing based on what happened yesterday.
Rob, we appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again next Monday it'll be a few days after the Packers take on the Lions.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Have a great week.
You too, Rob.
Rob Domofsky joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every Monday. It is a Victory Monday. It's brought to us by our friends at Palermo's Pizza. We've got some polls we need to get through and sort through. Coming up next.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff earlier.
From one white stiff to another? I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Before we quickly get to our polls of the day, there is a question from Justin and Middleton on the talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Is Toure going to be back? He's been a healthy scratch the last few weeks. Malik Heath has been taking his snaps.
And he's making plays on special teams.
Yeah.
So, I
would expect Toure, unless there's an actual concussion, and then we don't have Dontavian Wicks going on Sunday, or excuse me, on Thursday. That's about the only time I think you can expect Samori Toure to be out there for the Green Bay Packers. All right, you ready for the polls, Chew?
Yep.
Is Gabe Neitzel fun? Pretty close to 50-50, but right now, know what a snooze winning with 50.5% of the vote.
Oh,
it's a tight one. Is there such thing as being too old to dance? 74% of people saying no, never too old. And the final question, do you believe Ashton dances? No, Wallstander is winning over, yes, big-time boogier, 61.5%. Just had to read both answers there because Josh put in some good effort there. We'll be back again tomorrow. Will Neitzel up next on Victory Monday.